Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Confident Hypnotherapist podcast. Today, I have Newcastle's finest with me. We have author, speaker? How about speaker? Mentor and course creator, Brett Cameron. Brett, thank you so much for joining us today.
Lawrence, it's such a pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
Now, you're a fascinating man to talk to because of the fact that you've been in this industry for a while. You do a lot of courses around professionalism, building your business and everything as well. I recognize that you started your career back in like sales, you know, back in 2006 when you jumped from your previous career into hypnotherapy. What was it that made you decide to jump from housewares to hypno?
What a great question. And a question I sometimes ponder myself. It's interesting, even though I was in the homewares industry and I was in corporate, so I was a national sales manager for a Swiss kitchenware company, which is quite at the other end of the spectrum when you consider doing healing work or helping people to make positive changes. But I think that along the way, I just knew in my heart that this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. And it was quite an interesting reason why I jumped. So I'm going to go into the long story, but I'll try to make it short. So way back in almost in another millennia. So in the year 2000, I met my first wife. And we were on our honeymoon in the year 2000 in Italy. And she fell over a couple of times. And she said, "My feet just don't seem to be working properly." And I said, "Look, we've been doing a fair bit of trekking and so forth, so let's just take it easy." So when we got back home to Sydney, we were in Sydney at the time, and went and had some medical tests done. And I can still remember vividly the day when the neurologist said, "You've got motor neuron disease." Mm. And I'm thinking, I think we were both thinking, wow, this wasn't in the contract. Now, at the time, she was a graphic designer. And Cynthia, she resigned from her job and she said, "I'm going to devote my time to healing." With this grim determination, this confidence that she was going to be the first person in the world to beat this disease. And so she embarked on massage and meditation and Reiki and kinesiology and NLP and hypnosis. And along the way, when she discovered hypnosis, she said, "I'm going to retrain. I'm going to be a hypnotherapist." So she did. And I still have memories of her sitting in a wheelchair hypnotizing people, still in the view that she's going to beat this thing. So along the way, it was becoming increasingly difficult for me to be on a plane every week going from Sydney to Melbourne or Brisbane or maybe China or wherever we had to go for work. So I decided, well, I have to jump off the corporate tiger and I'm going to create a new career. And so I started doing business coaching in Sydney, working alongside Cynthia. But the more I was watching what she was doing, I thought, wow, there is something in this. I really love what she was doing. So I studied NLP. Then I jumped into hypnosis. And it's almost as if when I discovered hypnotherapy, I was down the rabbit hole. And I just loved it. I thought this was my calling. And thankfully, coming from a background in sales and marketing, it was a lot easier, I think, for me to move into that field, having that business background behind me. So perhaps I didn't have the obstacles to overcome that a lot of people do when they embark on this career change. You go, "Wow, I want to be a therapist." You think, "Oh, really?" So that's the, I don't know if that's the short or the long version. But if I could just add to that, you know, unfortunately, we end up leaving Sydney because I think the stresses of Sydney was just getting too much for her. And we moved to the north coast of New South Wales, basically for her to heal. Cynthia passed away when we were living up there. And then 9 or 10 years ago, when that happened, I said, you know what, I'm not staying up here. I'm either going to go to Brisbane or Newcastle, which was my hometown. So I came back to Newcastle, and best decision in my life I've ever made. Everything has just opened up since then. So I've been back in Newcastle now working as Cameron Hypnotics for the last 9 years now, and just loving every minute of it.
When you think back to when you first started in your career, and what were you like as a hypnotist? Were you full of confidence and gung-ho, or did it take a while to find that version of you?
Lawrence, I've always been full of gung-ho. Some people might call it naivety. Some people might call it arrogance. I don't know. But I always take the view that if I'm going to embark on something, I'm going to go in 100 miles an hour and I'm going to do something amazing. Mm. And it's been a pretty bad philosophy at times where I've hit a few brick walls and thought, well, that wasn't good. Mm. But along the way, I've always been one on keeping a vision as far as what I want to achieve, either personally or for my clients or in business. And once you've got that vision, then it's about joining the dots to actually make it happen. So way back then, I think I was quite naive, and even though I might have had business and sales confidence, but when I was working as a hypnotherapist, I know I was the classic case of the duck. It's just going, everything's wonderful. While underneath, I'm going, holy.
Better.
This is crazy. And I know that I made a lot of mistakes way back then, a lot of mistakes. And when I look back, I just cringe thinking, oh my God, did I really do or say that? But then I think it's also about finding your own way.
Yeah.
Because when I did my initial training of, hypnosis, it's certainly not the work I'm doing now. Mm. And I think that to use the hackneyed phrase, I think I was very woohoo. I was very esoteric, using the esoteric arts, so to speak. And I was doing a lot of energy healing. I was also doing work where I studied, what do you call it? Ghost busting. Mm-hmm. I was doing some very interesting things way back in Sydney, and I was even getting some paid gigs as a ghost buster. I've left that world behind me. And I think that when I moved back to Newcastle, that's when I decided I want to be serious about this. I think I was very scattered. I was taking so many different approaches. So when I came back, I thought, this is a time to rebrand. It's a time to rebadge myself. It's a time to ask myself, well, what sort of hypnotherapist do I want to be? And also, what sort of clients do I want to attract? So I was really just taking that fresh look at everything in regard to me, but also the business. And it was a great time to do that. So I had learned so much about myself. I had also learned so many life stories along the way. And I then did some more training. I thought it's time to really put on that serious training hat. And I studied again. That was with David Kennedy in Brisbane at the David Kennedy School. And love the guy. Very, very passionate. He passed away a few years ago as well. But very old school, but I just loved his passion. And that taught me a lot. And I think I modeled my enthusiasm on him. And along the way, I think every year I'm studying with someone. So I went to Thailand and studied with Stephen Brooks over there.
Oh, that would have been fantastic.
Amazing guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so did some training over there with him and learned so much because he had worked with Erickson and hearing what he was doing and just seeing his gentle approach. And then a couple of years ago, I went to the US to the HypnoThought convention and did some work with people like Jason Lynette and Freddie Jacquin, Carl Smith, and I think just by wanting to absorb all of the information, all of the knowledge that some contemporary giants have got, you can then apply that to your own model, and then you bring your own energy to it, and somehow you put it together.
I was actually going to ask you, were there any people that were particular influences on you as you continue through your career? But you kind of answered that in that regards.
Oh,
but I guess, you know, were there, when you think back over the trainings you have done, were there any particular people that really stood out to you in terms of what they offered you or how they may have changed who you were as a hypnotherapist?
Firstly, I did mention David Kennedy.
Mm.
And when I approached him to say, I want to study with you. And he did this interview with me. And it was beautiful, where I had to convince him that I was not only passionate, but I was going to be professional and I was going to stick it out. And because he said, I don't want any failures. I thought, I love that. And he really wanted to know that I was on the same wavelength as him, I suppose. And once you were part of his school, he sort of took you under his wing. And that was a lovely change for me because it gave me that real personal insight into when we are working with a client and trusting and they are trusting you and you have this invisible contract. And I think it taught me so much at a human level, as far as the responsibility of the work that we do.
Mm.
And I think along the way, I mentioned Stephen Brooks, and I don't think there is a session that goes by where there's a part of me isn't thinking, what would Stephen Brooks do in this? You know, you're just sort of almost stepping out to analyze what you've just said or that really long pause where I know in the past I would have gone, oh, my God, I better start talking because that pause has gone on too long.
Mm-hmm.
But really, this was classic Erickson, really just saying, just stop and let the client do the change. Mm-hmm. So I think that the others who I really love is Freddie Jacquin, lovely guy. I know you've done an interview with Freddie as well.
And so giving to our community.
Yeah, so generous.
In fact, you mentioned Jason Lynette, Carl Smith, and Freddie Jacquin. All three of them have given so much to the community and so willingly as well.
And the other people who I love are people who tell stories. Mm. I love stories, and I'm always weaving stories and metaphors into my sessions. And I'm thinking about Mike Mandel.
Mm.
He did a keynote speech at the HypnoThoughts 2019. And I think it's on YouTube. And if you haven't seen it, look at it. It's fantastic. There's this classic story where he told this story, which was basically a story of his life. And at the end of it, there might have been 1,000 people in that room and there was not a dry eye in the house. It was beautiful. It just captured everyone. And I was quite mesmerized by that. Just seeing the way that he could tell a story and then loop it all back at the start. So he's also an inspiration.
I know so many people who actually talk about Mike Mandel with such fondness about, you know, he's, again, I see him as being someone that a lot of therapists see as being, you know, the therapist, the hypnotist, and he's incredible at what he does. Is there any, you know, if you could go back in time, and don't you love how hypnotherapists always like to use timeline style questions, even in interviews and podcasts? But if you could go back in time, back to that 2006 version of you starting out, what would be the key piece of advice that you would give to you back then?
The key advice I would give him would be create a business plan. Plan what you're going to be doing. Don't be so naive. Don't just think that, hey, you put up your shingle and they will come. Because it ain't like that. It ain't like that. So I think that, yes, I was very enthusiastic, very keen, very ready to go out and just make a mark out there. But I really hadn't done my homework. And I think that the other thing I would have done is engaged in a mentor, would have done some research to find out who are the leading lights in the industry, in the profession, and start talking to a few people, because I certainly didn't do that either. I just went, yep, I've jumped off the cliff. I don't have a parachute yet, but I better build one quickly. And I have to say, for the first 12 months or so, it was tough. It was really tough, eating into savings and thinking, oh, my God, what have I done?
Yeah, exactly.
But I was so far down that I had to just keep going. And, yes, it is very successful now and has been for some time, but it wasn't always like that. So I think the key advice would be to do a lot more research and don't be so naive.
I'm curious, and you know, you're very successful now, but there was a period there where the savings were being eaten away. What was the turning point for you? Because you'd come from a background where you were familiar with sales and familiar with business. What was that moment that changed it for you as you went?
I think that the first 5 years or so was a very up and down time. No real consistency. I think the real turning point for me was when I did come back to Newcastle and I had some time to really think about, well, what sort of therapist do I want to be? This was coming back and almost like having, okay, this is green fields. So I could really plan, I could structure. I did a lot of research as far as coming up with a business name. New website, got a graphic designer to create a new branding suite. And I was able to start afresh. And the interesting thing is that I don't know if this is because I'd done the planning or what, but almost from day one, the book started filling and it stayed that way. And now I'm fully booked, five, 6 weeks in advance and have been for some time. It's a lovely problem to have.
It's a great problem to have.
Great problem to have. But at the same time, it certainly wasn't always like that, but it has been for some time. So for me, I think coming back after doing some more training and having some clarity in my mind as far as where I want to be, and I think I did become more focused. Where before, I know I was quite scattergunned.
So when you say focused, do you mean as in more niched or... You know, because I'm curious about it, because I'm sure for many people listening, they might be in a situation where opening their services up, people can come to see them about almost any single problem and they might feel that they're aiming to help.
Yeah.
Is that you were able to fine-tune who it is that you wanted to work with and who you were? Or what was the process there for you?
I took a view that I'm going to price myself to be the most expensive hypnotherapist in town. I didn't want to be excessive, but just to be priced above the market. Because I was thinking that, okay, if you're going to be priced above the market, you're going to then have to develop the package that justifies that price point. And the package includes me. So I think by doing that, By having the mindset that, okay, I'm going to set myself at that level. So now what do I have to create under that? it was the first opportunity that I had to start to create. I don't want to use the word protocol because that's a word that just gets bandied around so much.
But I get what you mean, a structure in a sense.
Yeah, and programs. So I started to put the marketing hat on and I thought, okay, if I can just create, say, three or four main programs, and that can be the basis of the work I do. Now, most hypnotherapists will tell you that, as you would know, that 50% of our clients are seeing us for anxiety, PTSD, panic, things in that realm. So I thought, okay, create an anxiety program. Create a weight release program. Create a stop smoking program. And now those three pretty well became the foundation of the work I do. So I took the view, okay, if I'm going to create a program, let's say for anxiety, I'll tell people, all right, it's a three-session program. And you're going to pay, at the moment, it's $500 for a three-session program. About to have a price rise, but let's say it's $500 for a three-session program. You're going to pay that up front. And in the first session, my goal is to help you to be free of anxiety. Now, it's a big ask, but I've helped so many people over the years, and I have every confidence that we're going to help you as well. That's my first goal. The second goal in the second session is just to recap to make sure that there are no lurkies hiding in the corner. And in that third session, I want you to fly. When do you want to start? So in a way, I put on the sales and the marketing hat and I've said, right, this is what I've got. This is what I've done in the past. This is how much it's going to cost. When do you want to start? I haven't given any details, but I've just pretty well asked the person, if this is what you want to achieve and I've got it, this is what we're going to do. So that then became a real big seller where people would just phone me and or email and say, I've seen that anxiety program. That's what I want to do. Beautiful. And it just became a no-brainer. And it helped me to then think, okay, if I'm going to be seen as the anxiety expert, I better know what I'm talking about. So then I really did a lot more research and research, and I'm still researching. So that if someone sees you, they want to know that you know what you're talking about.
Mm. It is interesting because I think about my own experience. And for a while there, I really didn't want to do smokers. I've never smoked in my life.
Same here.
So I thought, you know, do I really understand the smoker experience? As if that's actually really important in this regards. But so I kind of made this decision that either I was at a crossroads, either I needed to throw myself in the deep end and learn everything I could about stop smoking, or just pass every single stop smoker on. And in the end, I decided to jump into that deep end. I thought, well, look, nothing ventured, nothing gained. You know, favor fortunes the brave, all that sort of thing. And sat down and began to build this stop smoking program. But what I discovered in the process of doing that was how much it was actually about habit and habitual change.
Mm.
Actually fascinated me. Whereas smoking scared the hell out of me, when I started to go up and realize the broader context of it, it was like, oh, this is so much, this is actually useful across so many other things.
Yeah.
And that was a real turning point for me, I think, was doing kind of what you're talking about there, building those programs. And, you know, it's not that people sit down, they're going to get the exact same experience every time. That's not what it's about.
Yeah.
But I did have an idea about what I was aiming for and where this was going when people came and sat down in front of me.
Lawrence, that's so important because I've never been obese and yet I've helped a lot of people to lose a fair bit of weight. I've never smoked. I've helped a lot of people to be clean, fresh air breathers.
The flip side of that, I bite my nails and yet I helped someone in the past fortnight stop biting their nails. It could be these ironic things that happen.
Yeah. But it's interesting with that because we are also learning along the way. It's amazing how many times a client will say something while mentally I'm thinking, God, I've got to write that down. I love that line. That's perfect. And you just find that you're just applying different life lessons into every session that you do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You mentor a lot of people. What are the common mistakes that you see a lot of people in this industry making as they go?
It's funny where that links back to the question you asked me earlier about if I could talk to the person way back in 2006 and have a chat to him. Because I think the people who decide, I want to be a hypnotherapist, you know that that person has such a lovely, positive, compassionate heart where they just want to help people to heal, which is a lovely altruistic value to have. But if you have no idea about business, you're going to struggle. And that is really the key, I think, where, in fact, that's probably one of the key reasons why I wrote the book, Fully Booked, because I'd been to so many workshops and conferences, and you talk to a passionate hypnotherapist, but you don't see them 12 months later because they've gone to get a job because they couldn't make it work. And it doesn't matter how passionate you are in business. And there was something that Carl Smith used when I saw him in Vegas, and it was just a simple three-line question. And he put up marketer, hypnotherapist, business person. And he asked, put them in order. And then he asked people, so what's first? And it's amazing how many people said, oh, hypnotherapist. And he went, no, businessman or business person first. If you don't consider yourself a business person, you're gone. You've already done your training for hypnotherapy, so therefore you don't have to put that up there. You are in business, you're a marketer, and you are a therapist as well. And that's, I mean, it's an edict that it may not sit comfortably with some people, but it certainly works for me. And that's the advice that I give a lot of people. In fact, there's only, what's today? Yesterday morning, I had a phone call from a lady who, she's in Queensland, and she's about to embark on a career of, you know, spending a gazillion dollars and go to a hypnotherapy school to join our ranks. And it was really interesting having that conversation with her. And she has no idea about business, but I want to do hypnotherapy. So we had a very honest and frank discussion. And I didn't want to throw cold water on her party, but I also wanted to give her a bit of a reality check.
Yeah, you're not doing it to be negative. I'm sure you had the most positive intentions for her in that discussion.
Yeah.
But people sometimes need to have a reality slap.
Yeah. And confidence, which is the core of your podcast, where do you get confidence from? I mean, you can't just go down the supermarket and get it in aisle 9.
Be great, wouldn't it? Or confidence lotion that you rub on. That would be incredible. Well, that could be a good anyway.
I reckon you could probably buy that online anyway.
I think it's called fake tan, isn't it? Yeah. From memory.
No experience with that, Lawrence?
No experience with that, I'm afraid. That's definitely more my partner's domain. Okay. So, with that in mind, though, what do you think when you consider a typical hypnotic session, what elements do you think are important for you that help to really deliver that hypnotic change?
Okay, I'm going to channel the words of an NLP teacher I had way back in the dark ages, Lorelei Blythe, and she said, "You got to remember these three things." Rapport, rapport, and rapport.
Yeah.
And so it's so important. So I will spend a lot of time with a client just chatting and just building up that sense of trust, trying to eke out some more information as far as what might be holding them back or what they want to achieve, because it's amazing how many clients will come to see you about something. And when they walk in the door 5 minutes later, you think, that's not what they were here to see me for. It was something else.
Absolutely.
So you've built up that rapport. And so in every session, it's about rapport, because in the second session, you were reestablishing rapport. finding out what's happened in the last week or so since you've seen them and what changes they have noticed or what they haven't noticed. And you might have to start to rebuild their confidence again, their confidence in you and the process. Or maybe that rapport is they're coming in, you know, doing cartwheels, going, wow, this is amazing. And you think, wow, okay, we're going to have to do some better work today then. So I think rapport is king when it comes to that. I also like to have a mental structure. And I remember seeing Freddie Jackman saying in one of his videos or podcasts or something that he loves telling stories as well, and he loves weaving metaphors. And he said, I've got about five or six. That's it. That's all I use. And I'll just weave them in whenever I need to. And I've probably got about 9 or 10, which I go to a lot. And then there are others that I might pull out if the need is there. But I think that for me as a therapist, depending on what style you want to have, but for me, I do, as you've probably guessed, I like to talk. But I like to tell stories. But I like to tell stories that have a metaphoric hook into what the client is wanting to achieve. So I'm really inviting their unconscious mind to go on a journey of discovery, whatever the hell they want to get. So I'll make sure that, firstly, there is going to be hypnosis. That's pretty important. Most people want to experience hypnosis, so I'm quite big on getting people to have that experiential moment, to be able to sit there at the end going, wow, that was weird. I think the common words are weird, different, bizarre. And you think, yeah, it is, isn't it? It's almost like time has just disappeared. So rapport, technique, and that being experiencing hypnosis, and then telling stories or inviting them on a journey of change. And I think when you were talking before about the stop smoker and habits and addictions and so forth, well, really, it's the same thing. It's all about change. Really, it's just about change. And I have to tell you, I'm just getting a bit of a head spin right now because I'm looking at that thing behind your head and I'm being sucked in.
But you know what's an interesting experience for me, though? It's funny you say that because I spend most of our chat staring down the lens of my camera. And, of course, anyone who knows anything about hypnosis realizes that essentially I'm doing eye fixation with peripheral vision. So all these podcasts end up being quite a hypnotic for me, even unintentionally. And I'm going to start doing a swan in a moment.
Why don't we do a swan? Come on.
Where's Bob when you need him? The camera's not actually in the right position, although I can do it like that. But, you know, you're talking then about having the experiences as well. Is there any particular, you know, there's often those convincers that happen there. What is it that you tend to turn to help provide that convincing experience for you?
The convincer. It's one that I'm not going to say it's mine because there's nothing original. It's something that I do with most clients in a first session. And it's something that I picked up from, it's a combination of Mike Mandel and Freddie's probably used something similar. And basically what I'll do, I will just ask someone, so are you left or right-handed? And it doesn't matter really whatever they say. I'll just grab their right hand anyways. Can I borrow that hand from you?
Can I borrow that hand? I was about to say. Yes.
I promise to give it back to you. And then I'll just hold their arm up there. And I'll say, now just keep your eyes focused on that. And I just want to bring a string down from the ceiling and I'll just sit back and I'm going to just let it go. And yeah, we'll just leave that arm there. And I'm just going to touch a few points on that hand there while you're staring up there. So just close your eyes now. And they close their eyes, their hand's still there. And I'll just touch three random points. And I'm just bringing hypnosis into your hand here. Just hypnosis there. And imagine the hypnosis flowing down your arm like hypnotic concrete into your elbow there. and then flowing all the way back into your shoulder there. And now it's setting hard, and now it's flowing back over the back of your head, over your forehead, and hitting the backs of your eyelids now. And at that moment, you can just see their eyes close, more of the head drops, and the hand stays there. And you're thinking, beautiful, they're already there. And their eyes go into a bit of REM.
Yeah.
Then I'll introduce a bit of Carl Smith emotional detox.
I was about to say, you know, even Carl Smith, I know whenever he works, it's almost like, well, if it was a drinking game and you drank every time you said the word hypnosis, you wouldn't get through the first 2 minutes. I know Carl likes to use that word as often as he can because him, that is generating that self-conceptualized version of hypnosis. Yeah.
And I think with that and with the arm in the air, I will then say, now that arm will only come down to rest only when your unconscious mind is ready to support you 100% to put the problem into the past. And let's just call it the problem. So it doesn't matter what it is that someone sees me for. Mm. I just say, let's just call it the problem.
Yep. Great content free.
And it's great. Like you get kids for bedwetting. Mm. Let's just call it the problem. You can just see them have this sense of relief. Oh, my God, I don't have to mention the words bedwetting. Yeah. But for whatever it is, we call it the problem. Now, that arm will only come down to rest only when your unconscious mind is 100% ready to support you. Not 98, I want 100% commitment. And I know the moment that arm touches your lap, you're going to drop 10, 20, 30, 50 times deeper. And it's amazing, that arm, when I'm watching clients, on average, most people, their arm might stay up for about 5 minutes. The longest, I think, was about 22 minutes. And I'm watching the clock and I'm thinking, wow, what's going on here? And you can see the person was in trance. Their eyes were doing a lot of REM and the arm was still there. And they weren't sort of going, oh, my God, this is getting heavy. They're just still there. And I thought, well, okay, I'm patient.
Keep doing the work, yeah. Let's step back and let them do the work.
Let's just keep going here. And then finally when the arm comes down, well, there's the classic Erickson going, that's right.
That's right.
But, and then I'll start to weave in, for me, in a first session maybe with anxiety, I'll be doing some NLP techniques as well there. But really it's about helping them to put the problem into the past. There's not one thing from the past that we can bring back. It's all in the past now. And let's start to create a future without that problem. And the rest, well, I can't tell you the rest. It's all a secret.
Yeah, you'd have to kill me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I can't come to Melbourne yet, so.
You can't yet, no. You have to hire a man to come and visit me. I'll walk out the front and there'll be a horse head waiting for me. Now, of course, you are an author, fully booked, speaker, mentor, and course creator. So we're talking about, before hitting record, about where you're at with your online course. But I guess for those interested, can you tell us a little bit about it? What can they expect from your fully booked course?
The fully booked course, well, the course is called the Healthcare Business Masterclass because it's not only for hypnotherapists, it's really for anyone who's going to be venturing into business or they are in business and they just want to be better at what they do. So I've created a 10-module course which pretty well follows the course structure in the book Fully Booked. So I'm taking people from the business dream because when we go into business, we have a dream. We don't just go, okay, one day I'm going to be a hypnotherapist. No, you've got a dream about what you want to be doing and how it's going to look. And so we go on with the dream and then we start to explore the limiting beliefs, the things that have the potential to hold you back, that stop you. So we look at exploring and exploding some of those limiting beliefs. Then I take you into a branding exercise where it's about, well, how do we get you to stand out from the crowd, to create your brand? So I do interviews with graphic designers and web developers and social media marketers and so forth. We also get people to create a business and marketing plan. Mm-hmm. So we've got a document which becomes the foundation of your business. I cover things such as self-care. That's a big, important one. That's too. A
massive one, particularly in the last 18 months, what we've all experienced.
Huge.
Been full on, yeah.
And we cover things such as that energy transference and knowing that even though you are taking it, well, hopefully not taking on board your client's problems, but you are dealing with your client's problems, but you also have your own stresses going on in your own personal life.
Mm.
So it's about, well, how do we separate that and take care of you as well? I look at networking, how to go out and tell your story to the world. So there's a lot of different areas to cover. So the whole goal for me is to help people to be able to go into business and say, right, I'm not going to be telling you how to be a hypnotherapist. I'm not telling you how to be a massage therapist or an acupuncturist or a Chinese medicine practitioner, but I'm going to help you with your business and marketing to get the platform right, to get the foundations. So the Healthcare Business Masterclass, which we'll be launching in September of 2021. And I think you're going to be finding that or finding a lot of information on social media, but the URL will be hypnoticsacademy.com. So that's where my main focus will be for one of my days of the week now. So I think as of next month, I'm going to be doing a bit of self-care as well in that I'm going to be pulling back my face-to-face time so I can focus on the course and then have a day or two to focus on me, just to take the brain out, give it a wash, put it back in.
Slow down a little bit, yes.
Well, I've just turned 60, so I've got to slow down one day.
Good luck with that. You strike me as being someone's like, what am I going to do next?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's interesting because my wife, she's planning on retiring in October, and she's been pretty clear saying, but you're not.
Isn't it fortunate that you're in a career you absolutely love? I imagine it'd be hard for you to say goodbye to something like this.
Honestly, that is one of the things that I have to implore with people who are wanting to venture into this field. You have to love it.
Mm.
You have to love it to wake up in the morning to think, right, who's seeing me today? And what different experiences am I going to be picking up along the way? And I do love the work that I do. And I think that that's so important because if you got to a moment where you think, God, I don't want to do this, well, you have reached a point of you have to do a lot of self-reflection.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, if people want to get in touch with you moving forward, aside from the upcoming course, how can they get in touch with you?
They can find me on www.cameronhypnotics.com.au and they can find me on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and all of those beautiful social media platforms. But yeah, check out my website and also on YouTube. I've been putting about 10 or so
different great metaphor videos up on there.
Metaphor videos, yeah. So I hope to add to that. So they're all freebies that I just want to share with the world of hypnotherapy and use them however you want to use them mm-hmm. because they're not mine. I've pinched them from someone else.
And also I noticed you've got some Spotify content up as well.
Spotify, yes.
I was everywhere I looked. It's like, wow, you keep popping up everywhere.
I've been very, very multi-skilled here. Yeah, so I've also have on Spotify and Apple Music. I have about 22 self-hypnosis MP3s, and I should be adding to that stable of product as well. But you can, but also right now, while we're in lockdown, I have made all of my downloads free on my website.
That's generous of you.
So if you just went to cameronhypnotics.com.au, at the top there's a little bar, downloads, and all of those MP3s are free.
Wow, that's incredible. Look,
there's so many people who are really struggling during lockdown, wherever you are in the world, And I think the best I can do is say, guys, just if you can use them, do it. Do it.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
And also, if you want that book, fully booked, you can get that on Amazon.
Available in both hard copy and Kindle.
Yes, yes. So you can get the ebook or hard copy. So, God, I'm everywhere.
You are. And on my podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciated it.
Lawrence, it's been fantastic. I really love the work that you do. And I feel quite privileged to be on this podcast because I know there's been a lovely list of names before me. So you're doing a great job there.
I have been so lucky that many of those people have said yes when I've approached them. And you know what? It's almost like having a masterclass with some of these people. It's always a brilliant experience for me. I'm just hoping anyone listening to this gets as much out of it as what I do.
Cool.
Hopefully they do.
Good on you. You're going to have a great weekend.
I will. But thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you all next time. Until then, stay safe. Hey, thanks again for watching the Confident Hypnotherapist podcast. If you're on Facebook, why not come find us at the Hypnotherapist Networking Group? It's a group that was set up essentially to help continue to develop our skills and to build confidence as a hypnotist or hypnotherapist. So if you're on Facebook, search Hypnotherapist Network Group, come and join us. Look forward to seeing you there. Take care.